Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. One of the blessings this summer was to visit a place called Canaan in Darmstadt, Germany. It's the mother house of the Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary. And we know the sisters here in Phoenix at Canaan in the Desert. They've been longtime friends of our parish. In fact, their prayers have helped our parish come into existence. And it was a joy to visit with Chrissy, my wife, their mother house in Germany. And while we were there, we toured the grounds, and they have a large campus. And part of that campus is a lake that's probably, they call it a lake, it's a pond, about an acre of water. And it's one that they built there. The whole place was a barren field when they started. It had many different owners, but they were able, through grace and prayer, to get it all put together. And one of the miracle stories they tell of their formation and foundation was the lake that Mother Basilia called Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, because it's the land of Canaan. And just post-war, they were building out of the ruins of Darmstadt, which was firebombed by the Allies. And in the space of 6 or 7 minutes, they lost 14,000 plus people, and probably 40,000 to 50,000 were displaced. So it was really out of the smoldering ruins of Darmstadt that the sisterhood came into being. And Mother Basilia's vision was that her sisterhood would pray with repentance for the sins of the German nation, extend a glad hand of fellowship to the Jewish people, and start ecumenical dialogue with other Christian groups. So they have been at a long and vibrant ministry. So this, as we were touring the grounds, we saw this lake, and it has a special history, which is that Mother Basilia had in her mind a vision for that there should be the body of water on Canaan. But there is no stream of water. So, you know, this idea was kind of preposterous. And you can dig the pond, which they did in faith, knowing that, you know, here's where it's going to be, and they excavated the pond. And then by another, you know, gracious act of God, they were given the paving stones from the town of Darmstadt. They were replacing some streets, so they got the paving stones, and they started to pave out the bottom part of this, you know, divot they made in the ground, this large pond area. But there's no water. What are you going to do with that empty basin on the ground? You got to fill it with a garden hose? You know, pay for the city water, and then if there's no outlet, I'm sure you know what happens to that water. We have a hard enough time keeping track of the fountain in our courtyard, as tiny as it is, because with the heat it grows algae, you know, abundantly. And so what should they do? But she was convinced that there would be, you know, a fountain, a body of water here, and so they prayed with faith. And we're trusting in God, for with God, all things are possible. And at the same time, it was known to one of their friends of Canaan, a local farmer, that they had this project going. And so he came riding along, you know, in concert with their prayers. And every morning at 4 o'clock, he would wake up and say a prayer, God, please grant the sisters some water somehow, some way, for their pond. And one morning he heard God answer him in prayer, stop praying and buy for them a drilling. You know, pay to have the fountain drilled. And so he decided to do that. He took action on that, and he came and offered that to the sisters, and they gladly received it, that he would drill for water. Now, if you drill for water, you've got a well, and you can pump the water out and fill the lake. I mean, it's going to cost you some money for the electricity to run that pump, but you've got water now. Well, when they brought the drill right to that place where they'd already dug it out and paved it, and they got the drilling to go down, they hit water, and there was positive pressure with that water. They hit an artesian well. And so water came bursting out of the ground, and it still bubbles out today. You can see the water fountain. It's a spring right out of the ground. And it flows, you know, it's not massive. It's about 5 garden hoses at the same time. You can use this gurgling water that feeds that pond, but it's still flowing today. This beautiful free gift of water that came up out of that broken ground, now it feeds that pond. There's some very friendly koi fish that will come and visit you if you're there. They kind of swim up with little hope and expectation of their own, but they're very friendly. And So this is one of the grace-filled notes of the formation of Canaan in Germany, and we got to see that on our trip. I see it as a metaphor from which we can perhaps understand what St. Paul is telling us in today's epistle about how we have been changed by our baptisms. And he says, "Know ye not that so many as we have been baptized, we've been baptized into the death of Christ, that we may also live with him." So here is the radical change of our human nature that has been effectuated by the saving ministry of Jesus Christ and applied to us sacramentally through our baptisms. It's something that God has done for us. He has elected us. We see that we are, in our Anglican way, we perceive that those who are the elect are those who have been baptized. He, of his own gracious will, has chosen you to be baptized, to come into relationship now with Christ, to be baptized into his body, engrafted into the body of Christ, to be partaker of what Christ has done for our entire human race. He came as one of us to suffer and to die, to rise again from the dead, and ascend into heaven to effectuate our reconciliation with God. Now grace can flow. Now there is that changed relationship. We have been brought through our baptisms now out of sin and death into union with Christ and the hope of everlasting life. In theological terms, we have been justified. We've been justified through our baptisms and now by our faith and acceptance of our baptismal grace. We are now justified with God. And living according to that reality is the in-between time of sanctification as we gardens and flowers and orchards, fruit trees. While we were there, the plum trees were so heavy laden that they were dropping plums on the ground. You just looked at the tree and it dropped plums. I mean, it's fertile now and verdant, and a garden flows. Well, we've been brought out of sin and death into a new life in Christ, where the fruit of the Holy Spirit can come forth in our lives, where love can flourish. And we are to live according to that reality. We are to count ourselves dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you know as well as I do that sin still pulls hard. We are still tempted in very serious and powerful ways by the world, the flesh, and the devil. By our fallen nature, we still, you know, have in us that tendency to disobey the perfect law of God, which is love, to do those things that are unloving. And so, in our own Christian walk, we are to recognize those times when we are pulled away from our Christian vocation to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as ourselves. We are to recognize that with vigilance and discernment, and we are to put up a fight and resist it, and ask God to help us overcome it. In our own lives, we are to make manifest the old body of sin and the slavery of sin has been broken and no longer has mastery over us. We are not to serve sin. So we are to be victorious over it by the power of the risen Lord who indwells us, by the fact of our baptisms and our faithful participation in the sacraments of the church. And as we are fed and nourished at this altar by grace, we are to put up that fight and not serve sin. We are not to be slaves to sin. In fact, we are to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. What does that look like? It means that if I am tempted with pride, and there comes up in me this idea, or the worldly, you know, idea comes to me, or it's whispered to me by a demon, that I am better than anybody else, and that I need to maintain my place of privilege and keep others down and keep myself up, and that I am, you know, in this place of in my own mind and heart, a place of privilege where I judge others in a condemnatory way, and begin to despise them and hate them. I am to recognize that and fight it. That is not the way of love. Jesus tells us that much in the New Testament as he reveals the deep truth of the commandment, thou shalt not kill. It's fully articulated by the Apostle John when he says that the person that hates his brother is a murderer. Why? Because murder begins here in the human heart. And so if I see the seeds of hatred coming up in me, and I begin to despise another person and hate them, I am to recognize that and count myself dead unto that. That may be the world's game. It may be the game of many people who are playing hate games, and grudge games, and vengeance games, but it's not true reality. That's a falsehood of sin which is not real. I reject it in the name of Christ. I will not do that because I have a different heart now. God has given me a new heart. In fact, he has given me Jesus's heart. What is Christ is mine, and I'm to love with that same power of the risen Lord, and to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ. And so I reject it. A lot of people are playing those games. That's not my game. I am in the world. I am not of the world. And so it is for all of us. We are supposed to reject what is not love. And so if we are tempted by lust and feel the bondage, the kind of twinings of the tendrils of lust coming up in us, and we're coming into bondage by some kind of addiction to sex or the attraction of that power, we are to reject lust. It is not love. But we're created for love. We are recreated for love. God has given us a heart of love. So we are dead to that. We no longer serve that. We are to reject that in the same way that we reject, you know, any kind of lust for power or the attractions of mammon worship. The life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Jesus tells us that flat out. You'll never find your identity in the things that you own. Even though you have a million messages coming to you over your lifetime, carefully crafted on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan and delivered to you with incredible skill, try and undermine you and make you think that what you have is really who you are. We know that's a lie. We can discern that now. We know that. We can understand that, and we can be dead to that. A lot of people are chasing after that one, but it's not who I am. It's not who you are. It's not our game. We're pilgrims passing through. We may have stuff in this life, but we have it for a season, and then it's back to God's domain. We can't take it, you know, along. And so we are dead to that. That is how we live out our Christian lives now, dead indeed unto sin. So I encourage you to recognize, to use that discernment that God will give you by the grace of the Holy Spirit, to recognize what impulses are acting upon you or what behaviors you might have that are not love. Put up the fight, manfully fight against this sin by the grace and power of Jesus in you, and experience the victory that is ours as those who are now the children of God, the inheritors of the kingdom of heaven, who now live by the power of Christ in us. So let us come with grateful hearts that we have been redeemed. God has rescued us by the saving power of Christ. He has already, by our baptisms, brought us into the new humanity that he has established by the ministry of Christ. We are already there. That is already given. We are already inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. Let us live it out now and call upon his grace and power that we may experience that true freedom that is ours when we come into the service of love. Letting God break any kind of power over us that brings us into the bondage of sin, let us reject that, be dead to it. Let us come now into the servitude of love and therein find our freedom. God, in whose service is perfect freedom, when we love, we experience that liberty. May we rejoice in that truth today and claim it as ours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.